I want now to get on directly with the subject matter of tonight's lecture, and I want to introduce a new comparison. And this new comparison will, I hope, make clear what exactly is meant by the point of no return. It's something I've often mentioned. I've mentioned it from time to time in the course of lectures, but as far as I know, I've never really explained it properly or in detail. So with the help of this new comparison, I hope to be able to throw some light at least on this rather obscure and very important, very significant topic. I also hope to be able to elucidate, incidentally, the conception of what I've called, sometimes, the gravitational pull. This being an expression which has cropped up rather frequently in lectures and discussions of late. Now I'm going to start by asking you to imagine two bodies. A smaller body and a larger body. If you like, for the sake of convenience, we'll call them the Earth and the Sun. The smaller body being the Earth, of course, the larger one being the Sun. But I must point out that what I'm going to say is grossly oversimplified, not to say falsified, in the case of the actual Earth and the actual Sun. So let's take these two bodies, the smaller body, the larger body, calling them the Earth and the Sun. Now, each of these two bodies is surrounded by a gravitational field. That is to say, is surrounded by an area within which it will attract to itself any other smaller body. Now suppose, carrying our comparison a step further, suppose we so arrange our two bodies, our Earth and Sun, so arrange them that their gravitational fields overlap to some extent. Now at this point we're going to look at the blackboard, where you'll find, I hope, another chart, another diagram, which I hope will help to make this matter clear. It's the first of these three diagrams. Here we have our smaller body, Earth. Here we have our larger body, Sun. And here, of course, we have the two gravitational fields. So we see that there are now three distinct areas demarcated. One, there's the area within which there operates only the gravitational force of the smaller body, Earth. And then two, we see there's an area here within which there operates only the gravitational force of the larger body, the Sun. And three, here we see there's another area, a smaller area in the diagram, within which the two gravitational forces, that of the Earth and that of the Sun, overlap. In other words, an area within which both forces are operative. An area within which, in fact, the two are even in conflict. Now, let us enlarge this section, or this area 3, and transfer it to another chart, another diagram. And let's draw a line from point A on this arc to point B on that arc. Also, from our angle C up here to our angle D down there. Now, the point of intersection of these two lines within that area, the point of intersection would be the point, we may say, of equilibrium. That is to say, the point at which the two gravitational forces, that of what we call the sun and what we call the earth, will balance and will therefore cancel each other out. So that suppose we're travelling along this line, travelling along the line AB. Up to this point of equilibrium, we shall be subject more to the gravitational pull of the earth than of the sun. But beyond this point E, beyond the point of equilibrium, we shall be subject more to the pull of the sun, the gravitational pull of the sun, than to the gravitational pull of the earth. Now, if the original impetus behind the object or the person travelling along that line A to B, if the original impetus fails at any point between A and E, then that particular object or that particular person will be pulled back, will fall back, if you like, into area one. Once, however, we get beyond point E, this point of equilibrium, once we get beyond that, we are safe. It may take time to overcome the remaining gravitational pull of the Earth, but slowly, inevitably, inexorably, we sink, or rise, if you like, into the sun. The first point, therefore, beyond point E, is the point of no return. Actually, there's no space in between the two. This is the point immediately following this point, the point of equilibrium. There's only a space so that you can see this point more clearly. Actually, it follows immediately after. So this is the point of no return, the first point beyond the point of equilibrium. It's the point having reached which one can no longer fall back to the earth, even though the earth does still exercise some gravitational pull. Now let's apply all this, let's apply this comparison now to the subject with which we're concerned tonight. And let us see how it works out in terms of the higher evolution, in terms of the spiritual life. Let the smaller body, that is to say the earth, stand for the conditioned. That is to say, stand for relative existence, stand for phenomenal existence, or existence as conditioned by space, conditioned by time, conditioned by causality. And let the larger body, the sun, stand for the unconditioned, stand for absolute existence, existence beyond space, beyond time, stand, if you like, for the dimension of eternity. So that instead now of earth and sun, we've got conditioned and unconditioned. And each of these two, of course, both the conditioned and the unconditioned, is surrounded by its own gravitational field.